dearest Lord Christ, everything we have because of you. Let us not concentrate on what we don't have, but rather through your grace, what we do. L'chaim.
L'chaim.
Does this prayer make your skin burn, Chemda?
No.
Listen to this. Well, first let me say welcome everybody to Keith and the Girl. And thank you, Jesus, for letting us all get together.
Call, yes.
This hurts you.
Yes.
Patrice is not with us this Thursday. She is our gossip lady that is with us most Thursdays. She cannot be here.
She stubbed her toe.
She stubbed her toe. Wish I could take off work when I stubbed my toe.
I think you did, didn't you?
I broke my toe. I was here.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Please. Can't even. Now, here's what I'm saying. Henda went to an atheist meeting the other day. Your brother was saying that he goes. I don't see the point. I don't go to church, so I don't have to go to meetings.
Well, you know, that was even brought up, and I know that that's a... to me, I understand that first reaction, but it's not like we're going to worship. To me, it's just like going to any other club. It's like, you know, you go to like a knitting thing. You're all talking about knitting. Why are you all talking about knitting? You can just knit at home. You know what I mean? It's just... people who are way into this kind of dog or something that you're all into. It's just a similar interest.
To me, it seems like a bunch of people are getting together to complain about, yes, to complain about knitting.
I had some concerns that I thought I should go before I should just, you know, put it off as, oh, they're probably just, you know, ripping on quote God people. Right. They're probably just saying how, you know, everybody's stupid but us. But you know, you could pretty much say that for a lot of meetup groups. You know, everybody thinks they're better than, how about the meetup groups that, you know, are all black or all Hispanic, all, you know, there's just all Israeli. What are you talking about? Okay, we get it. You're all Israeli. You're all from Israel. You know Israel then. What are you discussing?
I bet you the knitting groups do pick on cross-stitching. I'll be honest. Well, you go there, and is that how it is? Are they...
So...
They don't seem open-minded to me.
Well, neither do God people, right? I mean, neither does anybody... To me, neither does the group that gets together based on their ethnicity. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I won't go to a meetup group based on my ethnicity because I'm afraid that that will be... Oh, this is who you are. I'm not an Israeli. I'm not an Iraqi. I'm not a person. You know, I don't identify as my... But would I... Let's say I'm in a different town. Would I go to a New Yorkers meeting? I might, because I miss home. I don't know.
I wouldn't admit if I was any of those choices. You know, those are the choices. Iran, Iraq.
Well, that's where I'm from.
I know, but still, I'd change too. Of course. Cocks would be crowing. I do not know those places.
So, yeah, it seems a little just getting together and just churning the same shit, right? So I was afraid of that, but I thought I'd give at least one a try, and I'm going to give 2 to 3 a try.
Oh.
Because it's a different thing, because...
Sounds like the first one failed.
Sort of.
Mm.
Well, okay, I missed a little bit of the beginning of it because we were putting together the show afterwards. And
that's
just
the important part. You missed not the prayer.
But it was done in a bar, and there's a back room, and
It's done in a bar. Why is that funny to me?
Well, it's a meetup place. Where else are you going to meet?
I guess.
You know?
They should rent out the church hall.
All meetups are pretty much met in bars.
Okay.
You know? And they just rent out the back room. Or what can you rent in New York? You know, it's the easiest place. You just give them a bar minimum, which everybody...
Right.
And that's what they say in the meetup. They say, you know, we're not paying for this space, but let's, you know, buy a drink or two.
I picture atheists being cheap. Do you know if they tipped or
you
not?
You know what's funny? I was thinking that as I was sitting there. So weird. I was thinking, I wonder if these people are overly tipping because somehow they have a sense of human beings because we're not distracted by God, you know?
Right.
Or are they just, I have to admit that atheists, and I wasn't surprised by this, they're a more nerdy group, you know?
Right.
Because you have to think.
And nerds are bad. You have to, right.
Nerds are bad at tipping. And you
yes.
have to think more logically in order to really, truly believe there's no God. You know, you have
right.
to only think logic because you can't think spirits, things like that. So the weirdest thing is I was definitely thinking that. And you know what's funny is the waitresses kept walking in and out. And I know we're speaking. I don't want to say I was embarrassed, but, you know.
You're chanting like devil chants, right?
We're not chanting. But we're.
Stiff as a board, light as a feather, stiff as a board, that kind of stuff.
No, not at all. But, you know, I thought it was. I thought because you're in a group, you're now representing some sort of group because you chose to be there. That means you're, you know, fist up in
right.
the air. That's just, you know, the impression that we're giving, whether you believe in that or not, which I don't. I'm not fist in the air about anything like that. But
ever since the catastrophe with hands in the air, you know, some years ago.
What?
The Holocaust.
Oh, yes. Well, I definitely overtipped because I was part of this group.
But you don't know the rest of...
I don't. I wish I did. You know what? I'm
curious.
I would have asked.
I
don't know why I didn't think the next step is to just ask a waitress.
Now, these Bible thumpers are horrible tippers. Don't get me wrong. Brunches, when we'd have church groups come in, first of all, they were the rudest, and they were horrible tippers.
You know why?
So even though atheism, I would kind of say, is the opposite, I see it being the same, and I see them not being good tippers.
Do you know why I think? Because they could say things like, God provides.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, but you know what? God didn't provide your Sprite fast enough, so right. I got yelled at. God ran out of honey mustard, so I'm a piece of shit. That's interesting. You could leave me another prayer book, though. Oh, please, your prayer book. Come to a meeting. I'm a little upset right now. Well, God will take care of that.
What costs more, spirituality or your soda, right. You know? So, yeah, I was very aware of all this kind of stuff. I don't like meetings, again, based on one particular thing, but I thought maybe I have something in common with these people. I'm looking for meetup groups anyway. There's always a chance. The chance of meeting someone new is always a good thing to me. So, okay, let's try atheist meetings.
And they bring up a topic, and then they go, yeah, that's bullshit, next. I picture meetings going very fast. Hey, did you hear the story about somebody wouldn't ride a bus because there's an atheist poster on there? Everybody think that's bullshit? Yeah, bullshit. All right, next topic.
Well,
the Pope thinks we're responsible for global warming. That's bullshit. All right, next topic.
I kind of was hoping that after a while because, okay, I missed the beginning, which is when they read those stories. So one of the stories was really this woman was a God person, and I think she was Christian. She was definitely Christian.
Right.
There was she was a bus driver. It was not a private bus company. It was a government job.
This was in Des Moines, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have this story. Okay. Iowa atheists and free thinkers. That's tough. That's a little slap in the face, isn't it? We're the free thinkers. is in the news again.
You're not free from sin.
Right. Earlier this month, it got national attention when its ads were pulled from Des Moines area buses within days of them having gone up. The Des Moines Area Regional Transit Authority, called DART, claimed that the ads were put on the buses accidentally. They were reportedly never approved. I don't believe that. However, it was suspected that the real reason they were pulled was that DART had received complaints about them. Of course they would. Even the governor chimed in saying he disliked the ads. The controversy caught the attention of the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, of course. They reportedly had questioned the legality of DART's action and requested a letter from DART explaining its actions as well as copies of internal communications concerning the ads. Soon after the ads were pulled, a meeting took place with DART and IAF representatives in attendance. The meeting led to DART's decision to put the ads back up. So one for the devil worshippers. IAF got more publicity than it bargained for because the immediate attention it got when the ads were pulled. In fact, the membership reportedly grew substantially following the hubbub. And just when it was thought that the controversy would die down, IAF is at the heart of a news story. Apparently, according to a report, a driver for DART refused to drive a bus, this is what you're talking about, that had the IAF ad on the side of it. It happened during a shift change. The bus that he was supposed to drive had passengers on it at the time. DART was able to get another driver on the scene quickly enough so that the passengers only had to wait about 5 minutes before their commute resumed. The driver is facing disciplinary actions. He loved God so much, he doesn't want to risk going to hell for driving a bus with an anti-God statement on it.
Right. So right away, I think, like, what a moron. And I can't help it. This isn't because I am an atheist. It's because you're dumb. You're just dumb. And to me, you know, because atheists are worried, oh my God, this is, you know, everybody against us and stuff like that. To me, this person looked so dumb. The bus driver looked so dumb. That good. You know, because if there was a Sopranos, the show, the HBO show, right. If there was a Sopranos ad on your bus, you wouldn't have made a big deal. And you know what Sopranos stands for? Killing, you know, straight up murder and sex and deviance and strip clubs.
Things. Maybe the difference, though, is Sopranos isn't real. This is making a real statement.
Okay, how about a condom ad? Would you be against a condom ad as a Catholic? Would you be just, right. You know, would an atheist say the same thing about is your bus representing you? You know what I mean? Does God not know the difference between you and this bus, you right. know? So it's just stupid. But the problem is atheism is a minority. And when you believe in God, you believe in what are you believing in? So the following aspect of it is just too...
But what kind of discussion do you guys have in this group?
So then that's the thing. There are these two moderator sort of people who are the ones who are the leaders of the discussion and everything.
They debate, but they're both on the same side.
No, see, that's the thing. Everybody's on the same side. So we're all raising our hand. And the thing is really intelligent people in this group, which made me really happy. But I expected that because you're really thinking logically. You're really looking up laws. You're really, you know, there was a guy who just knew the law for everything. There are people intellectualizing everything brought up. So not everybody was on the same side. For example, is atheism a religion? Because can we be treated like that? According to the law, no, it's not. Because a lot of atheists don't want to think of themselves as a religion because religion means God or some sort. To me, I think atheism is a religion because to me, religion is just what you believe in. And I get that atheism is a non-belief. And then you start talking about that. So you're sort of debating what you are and things like that. So there is a back and forth. The problem is we're all still on the same side, even though, you know, are we a religion, are we not? And it tends to be, it ended up after an hour, because I had a quarter, I had whatever quarters in the meter, $2 worth, right. to give me an hour at this meeting. And at that time, I will decide, am I staying here or am I leaving, you know? And at the hour, I was like, you know what, we're still debating this, we're kind of being redundant. I think I'm done. What I was hoping is that, yes, there'll be some kind of discussion, but then... we'd all just kind of socialize, you know, because, you know, that bake sale that my brother was talking about from his atheist thing, that sounded fun. You know, it just sounds like a community, you know, but
were people hooking up like, you know, big orgies going on?
Oh, yeah. Just like church.
Well, it's the opposite, right? I picture you guys setting chairs on fire and just start fucking all over the place.
We're nerds. No. It's just, no. But the thing is it didn't seem like it was going to end, and it didn't seem like the space that we were in lended itself very much to socializing, even if we were to socialize. So maybe that wasn't one of their social events. Maybe that was just a discussion event, you know? So I don't want to dismiss it right away. I don't think that you should dismiss something after one try, usually, you know?
That's what I say about God.
I tried. Oh, my God, did I try growing up. I really did, and I believed for a while, but I think it's all brainwashing. But anyway, here's another problem that I have. A lot of this stuff is they do this and we are this, and that scares me a little because it seems as cultish as the other side, you know?
Okay.
So that bothered me. And the other thing is we're all atheists, so everything that's, you know, God-related sounds hilarious. So people would do things like, you know, this person wanted to save me from the wrath of hell, and then everybody laughs. And I, as much as I do think that is funny when you think about it, for adults to think that they're constantly going to burn, right. you know, for doing whatever, and why can't you just make a decision not to do something bad just because you're going to pay for it in this life and you're just a bad person and maybe we should all just be good people, not because of later on somebody will burn us. So it is funny, but I don't want to keep laughing and pointing at some other group. That's just not...
Right.
It seems like very bullyish. It seems, and we're all in the same, you know, headspace. So that could turn very ugly. Mob mentality is very quick. Not that that was happening, but I just want to be aware of all that kind of stuff. The good news about going to an atheist meeting is, you know, I had to type out to look for it, and I learned how to spell atheist.
Oh, very good. You know what? I heard there's also a thing called gaytheists.
Yep.
You can't minorize yourself enough, can you?
Jesus Christ. Specific.
Yeah. How about you just hang out with the regular atheists, gaytheists?
Well, you know what? Gaytheist just sounds like so much fun. It sounds like a party. You know what? Maybe the gaytheists. Oh, my God.
They're having the orgies.
No joke. I'm going to go to a gay atheist meeting. Yeah. I want to look for that. Yeah, because maybe they're having the social part of it.
How about Jew gaytheism? No. Right? Never enough.
Ex-Jew gaytheist. So the only thing is I really, really, really wanted to somehow drop the card, our card that says we'll be talking about you.
Right.
But I didn't know how to do it smoothly because I came late, I'm leaving early, you know, did I just come, you know, for some kind of weird propaganda, whatever. But, and now that I'm thinking about it, yes, that's exactly why I leave my card, you know. But I just thought it was a little bit rude. Like I just had, you know, I had a weird agenda.
This is always odd to me. If you say to an atheist, you know, how can you not believe in anything? They get mad. It's like, no, we're not saying we don't believe in anything. We're saying we don't believe in God. If you ask most people, and they say, even the ones that don't believe in God, they still have to say they're spiritual, that they believe in something. Now, isn't that funny?
Well, these atheists still believe in something. No.
No?
No. No. Mm-mm.
Not. I don't mean agnostic. I don't mean not knowing.
No, I
mean.
Know.
I mean. No, I know there's Mother Nature. Like, quite frankly, no. What is the fucking difference?
You know what? I was looking for that also. No, not really.
Okay.
You know, and I don't. I understand why you would say I'm atheist, but I'm spiritual.
Right.
But I don't do that because it means that I'm explaining myself, and I don't really like to do that. So I don't. But they weren't really like that at all. Oh, and by the way, because of that bus incident, was it the IAF? They doubled their money. They raised a lot of money because of that, because I guess atheists were scared, like, hey, we need to help our own organization. There was a guy at the group the other day at the atheist meeting that gave $600 to that cause, and a lot of people decided to do that. So it really just, it looks like no, you know, that...
I remember a story like this a while ago we talked about, and yeah, it keeps boosting their numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this a real meeting, John, from Michigan, a real group? There's the Jews for Jesus and there's Atheists for Jesus.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know about that.
Well, maybe they talk about how Jesus was a dude, you know, and that he's not God. And yeah.
It is something, though, when I do hear I believe in the clouds and Mother Nature and this and that.
Of course, but, we all do, you know.
But whatever. All right, so you're going to give that another go?
Yeah, I think so. And I really might give gaytheism a try.
Why not?
Go ahead, it's funny.
Why not? It's hilarious. Well, I'll pay extra.
You
what
know,
do they
I
do?
If I had more time, I would go to more, you know, sort of organized, or I'd go to more things. I'd go to more shows. I'd go to more everything. Live in New York. I want to go to these things.
What do they do with their money? They doubled their money for what?
Maybe ads like the atheist ads. You know, I was driving to Pennsylvania for the...
Isn't that weird, though? Isn't that weird? Like, ads, I understand religious ads, because you're trying to get us... You want us to join your side, but atheists, you want us to, what? To wake up and...
Well, we got a button
think and,
on the
and
way,
then do what?
We got a button on the way in that said something like... I wish it still had it, but... Said something like, just because you're atheist doesn't mean that you're...
You can't give us 10%.
20, sir.
Oh, okay.
You know, I don't know. I guess to be present, because you're such a minority, you know?
Right.
I think presence is something.
All right. By the way, yesterday we were talking about Pat Dixon's Twitters. And, you know, they were looking, they look a little sexual, like he's up to some hanky-panky. And that's exactly what the poll was. Is Pat Dixon pulling some hanky-panky? Yes, you don't just make up those Twitters. I was wondering, is his girlfriend going to be upset by this? And he said, well, maybe now. She just started reading his Twitters 2 days ago, so we'll see. Versus no, he's just being a comedian, about half and a half. 47% of people agree with me, something's going on. And 53% saying, nah, he's just being funny.
I think he's just being funny.
I say he's not fooling me.
I like that he continues in the trend in today's... and I don't. Do you think now he's, you know, extra... doing it, or you think it's the same amount? Today's one of today's Twitters from Pat Dixon. I want you to use my sausage to make some hot white gravy. Then we can pour it on your biscuits and sit down to a big country breakfast.
I think he's just being silly. The other ones were, I just saw you in the laundry and I fucked you dog style 4 times. Very specific. And then when we're talking to him, he starts Twittering as we're talking to him. Things mm-hmm. like, oh, I love sucking on tits. And I'm like, that's misdirection and you can't fool me. And then now you're just being ridiculous. I'm on to you. Me and your girlfriend are going to have a chat. Let me tell you guys about this deal we're doing. KeithandTheGirl.com/store. In honor... of Henda not going to her parents for the Jew religion coming up. What is this?
Tomorrow night is the Jewish New Year.
That's a big deal, right?
It's one of the main holidays. I go to my aunt's house for 2 holidays, Passover and the Jewish New Year, because those are the main ones.
What do they call the Jewish New Year?
Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah, when you dress up in outfits and scare people in their houses.
No,
which one's
that's
that?
That's Purim.
Purim.
Yeah. But
this is the one, of course, Rosh Hashanah, where you put up a big tent. And
no,
you...
that's Sukkot.
All right. This is the one, of course, where you can't turn on a television.
No. This is really just the one where you eat.
People do get off work, right? Tell me that.
Yes.
All right. Very good.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you know, you eat symbolic things to like a new year.
Gefilte fish.
No, that's Passover.
I will never understand this.
You eat...
How often do you guys work? Twice a week?
Jesus. And yet we rule the world. We eat apples dipped in honey to have a sweet new year. You know, representation. So there's just...
Oh, that sounds good.
So you say a few prayers and you you eat certain symbolic food to make, you know, the new year happen.
Does a rabbi put the apple in your mouth or do you do it yourself?
We can do it ourselves.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's the fun part of church. You get fed.
Well, I just feel like I always feel uncomfortable there. And then I start thinking, you know, I'm uncomfortable enough in my life already. Like, why am I putting myself in that? I don't know. I feel bad because, you know, half of the relatives that were here are gone. They all moved to Israel. So it really is just, you know, five people around the table or something, maybe 10. But I feel uncomfortable. I don't want anybody to ask me about my work because I can't talk about it. You know, now I think people know about you, but they're avoiding the subject because you're not there. Just weird. You know, you run out of topics. You can't talk about work. You can't talk about your boyfriend. You can't talk about your book coming out. You can't talk about your day-to-day. Then they ask me to sing. I feel really uncomfortable. I don't know. And unfortunately, I'm going to lie. And tomorrow I'm going to call and say I just don't feel well.
Is this a big step or no? Because you're going to go to the next one. You can't be not I'm feeling not, well on and over and over.
Well, it's not like, I just don't feel like going now. I'm not, you know, that's it. That's the end of, you know, my family. And I just need.
And this is extended family. Your parents are in Israel.
My parents are in Israel. A lot of my relatives are in Israel. This is my dad's cousin's house. I just call him my uncle just for simplicity.
Does this make you sad?
No, I mean, I wish I could be honest. I think that I'm being more honest with myself by not going.
You wish you can be honest and tell them I don't want to go anymore.
I wish I could be honest in general. I wish I can go and talk about work. I wish I can go and not think, you know, a couple of those people are fucking assholes.
Oh,
you know, like, hey. I wish that things were different, but they're not. So let me not pretend that they're different. Go sit there, you know, I feel like a weirdo.
No, you should not go. You should send somebody in your place.
And I also always feel like an outsider, which sucks. And I've been feeling like that ever since I had an opinion.
Well, anytime you get back from these, you talk about how they're being catty, how they throw in the little, you're all alone.
Yeah.
Your brothers are in California. Well, I have a boyfriend that, you're
also,
all alone.
There's also, you know, even when I bump into family or when I bump into people that I know, there's always, why don't you ever come over? Like, very accusatory. And I just go, you know, maybe I got a call from you this year, and maybe it's my fault for not returning it. But you know what? Do we really have to pretend like one of us wants the other one over? I know they love me. That's the thing. I know that these people that are going to be there, they have genuine hearts, and you know, I really love a couple of them, the ones that really ask me to come over. But I feel uncomfortable. I can't share my life with you. So what are we doing? We're going to talk about tea and coffee and weather and.
Well, you know what, Kendall? Why don't you make your bakalak?
I don't understand that.
Right? The aliyah.
Oh, the aliyah.
The aliyup. Why don't you do that? Just go to start living in Israel. And then you go to them, hey, it's so fucking great. Why don't you go? Oh, I wish. Really? You just get on a plane. You kind of just go now. Yeah, oh, I wish. But you can because you have nothing in your life. So I don't see why you don't. I wish I could.
I don't blame them for thinking I have nothing in my life. I never talk about my successes. I never talk about work. I never talk about anything that I've done. So they probably think I sit there and, you know, I think they're scared to ask me what I do because I don't think they think I still clown, you know.
Right.
So they ask me about my singing career and then I make shit up. I don't make shit up, but I go, oh, like, for example, if I were to go tomorrow, I'd be like, yeah, you know, they are talking about doing the musical again. And that would, you know, subside.
Really? I would say that I was the one interrupted by Kanye West. Go, did you hear about that? Yeah, I did hear about that.
The president spoke about me.
Just say, tomorrow I'm making my alley-oop, and I'll see you guys never. Fuck you. How about that? Send me a sand card sometime. I'm out of here.
The only thing is I wish that I can just drop by and they give me the to-go food because their food is so good.
Yeah, just swing by?
Yeah, just, you know what, I don't feel well, but I know you made the food already for an extra person, so just give it to me.
I think you should knock on a window like you're walking up to a drive-thru. Like, hurry up, I'm getting on the plane for my alley-oop. I gotta go. Oh, all praises, I wish I could. Yeah, hey, no one's judging. Bye. Goodbye. And then send cards back every once a month. Still having my alley-oop. Oh, this is so good.
Why do I have to do work on top of it? And you think I don't have family in Israel, and then I have to deal with all that in Israel. Again, these people are nice. They're not nice people. I just have nothing to relate to because we're related.
Just keep saying you're going to different alley-oops. You're in Iran
what
now.
What are you talking about?
I know the culture.
Well, anyway, in honor of my Jewish heritage,
yes,
we're going to do
a deal at the store. KeithandTheGirl.com/store. For every $10 you spend, 10.
If not for every 10.
Never
we're
mind.
Still Jewish.
10 just shouldn't have pointed to me.
If you spend $10 or more at this store and you put in the code word Jew in the notes area, we will give you a free keychain bottle opener.
If you rate Catholic, you can have everything for free.
So again, keithandthegirl.com/store. We have a lot of new things in there, including Keith's new DVD called Culture Shock. There's the great extras. And on the CD, there are even different extras. So if you buy the CD-DVD combo, you not only save money, but you get more extra stuff on there.
Let me tell you something I think people should look at. First off, Henda's prank call CD, Clown by the Girl.
I'm an atheist asshole.
See? That's true. Oh, she's crying. She's
I'm an
making,
AA
She's
asshole.
Making people cry. Very cruel, the stuff she does. But it's hilarious when you're not the victim. And I love the CD very much. And of course, Patrice is on there a little bit. Emmy's on there a little bit. Our friend Adam Brown is on there a little bit. And it's prank calls and it's pretty funny stuff. Also, if you like the work of McNally, and I'll tell you, we'll talk about Keith and the Girl TV in a second, but if you like his work, I know we have some kind of package deal for DVDs that include On a Big Boat, the recent cruise we took, Cozumel, Mexico, in Florida, all over the place, which is kind of like a documentary on Keith and the Girl, and all the live shows we did, and a bunch of studio shows, and two cartoons are in it, if you dig the animated stuff that we've done.
And it's edited to cut from one thing to the other pretty well. It's not the shows in their entirety. It's like highlights and like you said, cartoons as well.
And also part of the package is Keith and the Girl in Canada, our very first DVD, which has our live show in Toronto, as well as the USA versus Canada International Dodgeball Competition.
Footage from the bus,
footage from the rapper that got
keithandthegirl.com
tattooed on his arm. People are wondering, what is that? Rob Dees.
Yeah.
Rob Dees, the rapper. We met him, and he got Keith and the Girl. He didn't know who we were. He just felt this, he just saw this big presence of people. He knew we were some kind of big deal. He said, all right, I'm going to get this. And this, he's with two hot chicks. I didn't get it. And
one wanted a
wedding ring.
One wanted her papers because she had to go back to Brazil or something.
So anyway, he gets this done. He's like, "Listen, honey, you're giving me a hard time, but this is it. This is gonna make me famous."
Right,
so
we
go, "Okay, we do the tattoo. It looks beautiful." We start to color it in. We get the green done for the New York City. What Henda and I are standing on, and then it's like, "Okay, well, actually, the bus is here. We got to go." And that was the end. But meanwhile, keithandthegirl.com, including the .com, is written on his arm. And he goes, "Hey, yo, Keith, yo, how do I get in touch with you?" I'm like, "How do I get in touch with you? It's on your fucking arm. How do you get in touch? That's the business card on your arm." Haven't heard from him yet.
It's so funny.
I want to play his songs.
I know.
I have no idea what's going on with this guy. But anyway, all that's in the DVD. So if you're curious what to get, personally, I recommend that package. I dig it a lot. And McNally even says, "Hey, if you find any editing problems with this, tell me, I dare you." And you put out a challenge like that, people try to stump you, and everybody loves these. So I'm real proud to mention them.
Just to clarify, the Canada DVD was edited by Matt.
Oh, Matt, then you'll find problems with that one, he says. That's fine.
The other two were edited by McNally.
It's the other two you can bust his balls on.
And also, just a quick reminder,
yes.
Christmas is coming. Now's the time. Get her done.
Christmas is coming, that's true.
Weird, right?
I'll tell my parents now I'm making my alley-oop. Because I'm not going. Yeah, I was saying this, Keith and the Girl TV, totally free, just like these shows are, keithandthegirltv.com. The latest one, Ray DeVito stand-up, 100 for 30. You donate $100 to the comics that's on the show that day. They do 30 minutes of stand-up, the most awkward stand-up even the pros have ever done. They're in a room with two people they'd almost rather have 100 crazy people. They'd almost rather have a room full of drunks swearing at them than two people. But it's one of the greatest ideas we've had, and it's going great. The second one's up. Meanwhile, we're waiting on three or four more.
Yeah, Victor Varnado.
Victor Varnado. Mike Kaplan didn't go up yet.
Pat Dixon.
Pat Dixon did it the other day. We'll talk about that. Jesse Joyce did it yesterday as well. He stopped in. Here's some people saying about the latest. This one made me choke with laughter. Ray DeVito was hilarious, but his banter and wrestling with Brolo is heartwarming. Brother Love, of course, one third of the audience. These two could be the sweetest, messiest duo ever. Bwahahaha. Also, God, Brolo is hot. This seals it. I only want stand-up and drunken 100 for 30 form. Such a fantastic episode. Ray nailed that shit so well. And his interaction with Brolo was classic. Easily the best 100 for 30 yet, without question.
Ew.
Out of all two that have been put up. That'll still hurt Micah Fox, though, greatly. Such a good episode. Once again, McNally, great work. Brolo was great as always. And Ray put on a great show. It was very good.
I was in a pretty crappy mood, and I watched it, and it still cracked me up.
Look at that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very funny. Because you know what? It's true. Ray DeVito and Brother Love. It's quite the interesting. Yeah. They should think about doing something else together. I'm not kidding. There's something about them because they're both kind of drunken, kid-like,
yeah,
good-looking,
gorgeous.
Not frat, but like the nicer version of frat boys. I don't know. There's something very interesting there.
So Brother Love couldn't make it yesterday when we put Pat Dixon on the spot.
Because Brother Love's back on the road today.
That's
just
right.
So you guys know.
So we said, I'll tell you what.
There's got to be a way to throw something in there that throws Pat Dixon off. He's a sober comic. Mm-hmm. You know, that makes it tougher.
Right.
Because you give Ray DeVito a couple shots beforehand.
You know you're in for a good time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we said, hey, his archenemy, Jesse Joyce. So we go, all right, Brother Love couldn't be here. Jesse will be here. Pat's face says, what the fuck, come on? And we start recording. And it went pretty well. Pat Dixon did it first, and then Jesse did it right afterward. Of course, Pat Dixon sitting, busting his balls. Pat Dixon explains what he's going to be doing for like 20 minutes or so.
And then Keith tacks on more time.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you get time added to that. I make use of your money, guys. Jesse Joyce would question when and why I laughed.
During his stand-up portion.
That sounds like a condescending laugh. So throughout the next couple days, because the file's so big, I'm sending it to McNally, so we still have more Keith and Girl TVs to get to you, including, I believe, the next one's going to be the hot dog eating challenge. Mm. Try to put a little, you know, space between the food ones and the stand-up ones, and I think we still got the hot dog one to go. I do have to say something, though, about the new intern. This is going to hurt feelings. I know right now he's like, well, what'd I do? Mm-hmm. That's the funnest part of this whole thing. I know right now the old intern's going, oh, thank God. Jesus, good. Asshole. I'm having some beers. I'm watching the stand-up in my house, and Kyle says, can I have one? And I go, of course. Of course you can. Now, I realize later can I have a beer means he went downstairs to the beers and took the last two.
And, two?
Yep. So later on, I'm doing the Keith and the Girl TVs. I'm putting up this show. I'm doing something our manager wants me to do, upload video to a different website, this and that. And I'm like, let me treat myself to a final beer. And there was none.
Oops.
I get he's young, but you don't take the last slice without asking. And you certainly do not take the last beer without asking. I realize it's 1 a.m. I realize, I felt like I was in The Sopranos. Oh!
You know what's funny about this?
Yes.
I thought you were going to mention that he just didn't show up today.
No, I don't care about that.
What's the deal? Did he contact you yet?
He did, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Thursdays are tough for him, and he doesn't understand that.
Yeah, because he has a night job. So yesterday he worked with us, and then he goes straight to his nighttime job. Then he takes, you know, like pretty much what's a cat nap, and then he expects to come here. Kyle... you can't do it.
He switched from 12 to...
You think you're capable, but you're not.
He switched from 12 to 1, and then by 1:40, I said, let's do it another day, so we're going to figure out Wednesdays and some other days.
Right. So we.
But all I know is I just got beer, so it's still in my fridge. So that's the good news.
Well, we still like Kyle. He works really hard, but I think his time is limited. So we're putting a call out for another intern. You won't be replacing this one, but we do need extra and more help. So if you do want to be a Keith and the Girl intern, write to info@keithandthegirl.com. Got to say, Kyle's resume was just, it was impressive just because he is worldly. And, you know, has always worked. But, right. you know, all we want to know is that you're a human being that gives right. a fuck. You and know, and please don't use fuck. Don't use swear words. I understand I just said give a fuck. Right. But understand that you're applying for a job that doesn't pay.
Right. right. And I'm very excited about the idea of a new intern, too, because I have a lot of Keith and the Girl TV wrestling ideas.
So if you're a girl, even better.
Right. Don't forget, of course, people ask me, Keith, can I hear this show on the app? You can hear every show we do live on the Keith and the Girl app. It goes to, for the iPhone I'm talking about, keithandthegirl.com/app. Totally free, of course, like most our stuff. And
if you're on iTunes, you just have to put in KATG or Keith and the Girl, and the app is free. Download it now.
You see the schedule. You see when the next live show is. You see who the guests are. You can see video on it. You see, and not that it goes to the YouTube like most apps do. It just plays the video right there, and then you get back to your business. So you can see all the Keith and the Girl TVs, for example, on there. And of course, when we do the show live, you'll know what time it is from your phone. If you're at home and you don't have to be mobile, keithandthegirl.com/chat. It's where everybody's hanging out right now. And it's a lot of fun. So make sure you're onto that. That makes you're onto that tip. That's what they say. Makes you're onto that tip because the app already dropped. Hey Ann wrote this on the forums I saw.
Hey Ann is a person that I've met before. She definitely came to a Viva Pachiva show, and I believe she drove at least a couple hours to get there. Really sweet woman, had to get babysitting for it and everything.
Well, she's been a member since May 2007, and she just happened to write this about a show that we did the day before that. I was listening to this show today during my daughter's weekly therapy sessions. I laughed out loud so many times, and the other moms in the waiting room kept looking over at me. It is kind of weird, right? You're at a therapy session. Mm-hmm. You're a mom of somebody in therapy. You're supposed to be depressed
right.
and
well,
sad.
Right, well, she's waiting outside, yeah, so I guess it's even worse in the waiting room.
Eventually, one of the other moms asked me what I was listening to, and I told her a podcast. Expecting a vacant look over the word podcast, she laughed instead. I asked her if she listens to the show. It turns out that her friend is a big fan.
Really?
And lives in Ridgefield, Connecticut, a very rich area, by the way, and is always talking about the show. I will save up shows to listen while I'm at my daughter's appointments, which are many. They save me from the despair that could come if I were to concentrate on my daughter and her issues and her lot in life. Thank you, Keith and the Girl, for providing an entertaining and hilarious little escape that I can capture on my iPod and take with me anywhere. Since my daughter was born in 2005, I cannot tell you how many times your show has kept me from curling up in the fetal position in a corner and just giving up.
Oh, so we're not talking about brain therapy. We're talking about maybe there's something physical.
I guess so.
Yeah, wow. And it must be a lot. If she has to save up shows, our shows are at least an hour every day. So, wow, she's in therapy for hours. Oh, hey, Ann. Good job.
I expect a letter from the daughter 10 years from now. Thank you for keeping me out of a microwave. I appreciate it. You apparently made my mom laugh. Patrick Swayze, of course, died the other day. He's coming out with a book. I guess not a book tour, but... He's a book coming out.
It's a book tour in heaven, right?
Right,
guys?
God needed a book speaker. September 29th, his book comes out. It's called The Time of My Life. In it, he says about dying, I began thinking to myself, I've had more lifetimes than any 10 people put together, so this is okay. I hope I would get this book if there's a chapter on his life as a bouncer. Let me tell you what this guy did. He came into this town.
Oh, boy.
And this bar was just being run by the asshole of the whole town. I mean, he ruled the whole town. And it had to be cleaned up.
I really like this movie, but I wonder if I see it now, will I be like, wow.
I think it holds up.
Do you think so?
Roadhouse.
You know who I really loved in it? The old man. The fucking badass old man. It's silver hair.
Oh, he knows karate, but he's 80?
Oh, yeah.
The old veteran bouncer.
Yeah, he talks like this. And yeah. Everything's just a fucking, you know what I mean?
Just get your car. Let me tell you what Patrick Swayze would do. He'd take this car. He'd buy a car. Not a great car or anything. Kind of a junker. But he'd start, you know, hey, you're fired. You're out of this bar. This and that. So these guys go, fuck you. I'm going to break all your windows. I'm going to cut all your tires. He goes to the repair shop and he goes, hey, fix this car again. I'm like, fix the car? This is going to cost you thousands. Just buy a new car. He goes, that's not the fucking point. Now, I never got the point either. I guess it's something to do with staying your ground. I don't get it. Just buy a new car, for God's sakes.
You can't let terrorism win.
That's what point he was making. Mm-hmm. See, I would read about that, about how he fucked the nurse. I'd read all about that if he talks about that.
Oh, my God. That nurse, to me, was so asexual.
Oh, really? I dug her.
Oh, she was so butchy for such a skinny little girl. She was like, I don't know. She just so did nothing for me, and she wore the right things. She was the color red. It was very weird. Her skin tone was bizarre to me, and she was weird, and that sex scene was weird to me, even though it was supposed to be hot. I just didn't get it.
I know. They did it there in the nurse's office, right?
No. Doing his bandage. They did it at his loft or whatever the hell that was, above the barn or something. Yeah.
The barn owner just didn't want trouble. That's all he wanted. But trouble came.
Well, it was a troubled town.
Right.
But no, which the one man fixed.
With his
sidekick.
Oh, people were skimming off the bar. Like, hey, this guy's taking 30% of your profits. Well, you're fired. Well, I break your car again. I come back. I fix my car. Somehow I'm loaded being a bouncer all my life. I guess it paid very good. But yeah, sure. I'd read that chapter happily. Joe Jackson, of course, the father of Michael Jackson, issued a statement saying he is so displeased with Kanye West's behavior that Kanye West should be blackballed from the business. He should be kicked out of entertainment.
I'm sorry. This is a person who beat his children into entertainment.
He beat his children into entertainment. That's fine. His child on charges of molestation. Never mind the facts of giving kids wine.
Right.
Minimum. Sleeping with kids and giving them wine is not debatable. But that's fine.
Sleeping next to kids.
Sleeping next to kids, sure. I don't know what he was doing. He jumped on stage, Joe Jackson says, and snatched that microphone out of that poor girl's hand.
Well, that's not entertainment. That's not what was scheduled.
Right. They should black...
He scheduled a beating. If you did not sing right, you get beat. Now, had Kanye West said, if you don't whatever the fuck, I will come on stage, then maybe he would understand.
They should blackball him out of show business for that. Kick him out altogether. He just leapt up there. That was bad.
Speaking of bad, my son had this song...
I had just gotten through speaking on him, to him. He was introducing me to his girlfriend, and then 3 minutes later, he jumped up on stage, and people booed Kanye all night. Right. It is weird how, I don't know, it is weird how Joe Jackson's a hero again. Everybody hated him. Even Michael Jackson fans hated him. Now he's the best, right? Am I mistaken?
I think he's just being heard again because people want anybody from the Jackson family to speak.
I guess.
I don't know that means they like him.
But that's not the MTV Awards. They're coming up to him, like, shake his hand. I don't know. Do they want to be in a new project or something? I don't know. But the whole thing's very weird. Like, everybody hated his dad. Again, even Jackson's supporters.
Well, death changes people's perspective, I think.
I guess.
For the record, we thought Neil Baxter was awesome even before he died. And also, I was reading some old emails from him. And
the guy we said that died recently, and you read that letter.
Yeah, he got buried in Keith and the Girl shirt. He's our second
Is that what an atheist does, by the way?
What?
They read a letter to the universe, to him. Would an atheist do that, Hunter?
I don't know. See, that's why I don't like the whole titles on things, but I wanted to, and that's what I did.
All right.
If that makes me an atheist and not an atheist, then I don't give a shit.
Right.
But I was reading old letters of his, and you know what? He wasn't 40. He was going to be 40. Just saying, because I said he's at least in his 40s. And he's
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't make him look old, this dead guy. He'd hate that. That's something. He's looking down. Damn it. What am I going to do? Talk to him in your dream tonight?
Well, when you can't breathe right, it might age you a little bit.
I guess so. Yeah. Chris Brown, of course, court ordered to do community service for the beating of Rihanna, is twittering.
I like that the newspaper had not only the pictures of him doing community service, right, but also they had to add in the beat up picture of Rihanna.
Just remember, don't forget.
Yeah.
It does bother me a little bit because twittering is fun. And he's like, hey, check out my outfit. He's making a joke of it.
He has to, don't you think?
Does he have to? What, for his credibility? I guess. I don't think he should be allowed to.
Mm.
Definitely not 9 to 5. Whatever your community service hours are, off your phone.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't need little jokes. I know later you're going to rap about it and make the whole town look ridiculous. Okay. What can I do about that? But meantime, put your little jokes aside and put your fucking hat on right. Huh? Is this me? Is this Keith, government man again, going a little too far? Don't wear your hat cockeyed. A little disrespectful during community service hours. Am I an asshole?
I don't know that you're an asshole because it is there's an outfit that he has to wear. It's part of that outfit, yeah. Right? So yeah, it's
if I can't wear a bandana in school, you can't wear it picking up garbage. Take off your fucking hat. Never mind sideways and diagonal. You know how they do. Please. Check out my outfit. Are you fucking kidding me? Send. That's a paper cup you could have picked up. Send. California judge who sentenced Brown in August granted this request to his community service labor near his home in Richmond. Richmond police spokesperson said, Chris Brown's schedule will be flexible and include assignments like washing government cars, picking up trash, and cleaning up graffiti.
What's the point of washing cars? You're wasting somebody's time.
Right. They go to car washes, cops.
Washing of the graffiti, it's like, okay, somebody has to do that. But Washing the cars, just go through a car wash, go so much faster.
We'll just take a look at it day by day and certainly would ask for the cooperation of the public and Chris's fans so that he is able to satisfy his work requirements. Meanwhile, Chris Brown is Twittering. I'm on way to community service. See you there. I'll be there. I'll be in the orange suit. Ha 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 ha. Can you imagine if we had to get married in these suits? Ha 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 ha. Punch, punch. I don't like it. 9 to 5. Go to work. Abercrombie and Fitch are suing Beyonce Knowles over the name of her soon-to-be-released scent, Fierce, because they already have a scent called Fierce.
So they have a fragrance called Fierce.
Yeah, and Beyonce Knowles is coming, so Abercrombie & Fitch is saying, nope, we own Fierce as a name.
You know what, though? I misread that originally, and now that you're mentioning it, if they already have a scent that's called Fierce, then maybe she can't come up with her own scent called Fierce.
I don't know. If you ask me, Tyra Banks owns Fierce. She's her own scent. Pretension. I have the word Fierce, though. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be a judge one day and make a difference in this world. Your Honor, I want Fierce too. I went to law school for this.
You think Abercrombie and Fitch should just, I always hated that name, should just let her do it and then people will mistake their fragrance for hers and it'll be more, you know what I mean?
Maybe.
Slash, maybe it'll happen anyway and it doesn't matter and they're going to get into the newspaper regardless.
Here's what they do. They say, you know what, you can use the name Fierce, that's fine. Then they change their name to Fierce by Beyonce Knowles. And then we see where it goes. Beyonce, the Y, make it a V.
I would spell Fierce.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm on to things.
Just change the name, call it Snap. Who gives a shit?
I would call it Fierce, right?
All my life, I wanted a big wedding, and I wanted a perfume called Fierce. I'm doing it. Jay-Z runs the fucking town. He can't get this shit done. He made the Yankee cab famous than the Yankees.
It's P. Diddy that runs the town. Runs the city. Oh, maybe Jay-Z runs the town, and P. Diddy runs the city. I don't know.
Last night, I was hanging out with my chat buddies, and I'm playing the new Jay-Z album, which really is good. Not into much rap. I think Jay-Z really is incredible. Only a couple songs didn't go for me. But it is funny, and this has been going for a long time, and rappers do it all the time. But every single song on the new Jay-Z album is how great he is. You're not even doing something new. You're just saying how great you are. That's fantastic.
Maybe this is the recap CD.
So then I went back and I listened to Kanye West's album, Graduation, because all the Kanye West hoopla. Because I'm starting to wonder, is Kanye West retarded? Do we have to give him a break? And he's not. His songs are so brilliant that you can't be retarded and do that. I think he really is quite talented. But,
he's very talented, but it makes me wonder if he has a co-writer or something, because he's so retarded when he's...
You think so?
But then again, you know, it could be that he's just not good at, you know, the on-the-spot, at speaking. You know, there's some...
On-the-spot. He puts himself on the spot. Shit, I'm on stage again. What do I say?
I know.
Quick, grab the mic.
But it could be that, you know, you ever seen some really talented people are incredible and gigantic on stage and they have all this presence. They get off stage and they look meek and shy.
Right.
So I think that has to do with it. Maybe you're a better writer than you are a natural speaker, because when you take the time to put the words into...
Yeah.
There's a difference between writing and just speaking off the cuff.
And that's a lot with a lot of singers, a lot of performers,
yes.
A lot of comics. Lance Burton, The magician that we saw.
He's just retarded all the way.
He's swinging around. He's acting like David Copperfield. Look at these chicks and boom, fireworks out of my fingers. And then finishes his trick. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you guys very much. Like, well, you just flew around the fucking room. Ah, thanks. As a rabbit out of my butthole. Thanks.
Do you remember Britney Spears in that? I love this performance when she stripped down on the MTV Awards.
I don't know. Was there a snake?
I think it was. Oops, I did it again. No, it was the year before the snake or the year after the snake. Whatever. She stripped down and it was incredible. She's incredible.
If she was over 16, I wasn't paying attention. Right.
And she was fierce, basically.
Right.
And then you see at the end, if you look just at the end, she just pow, 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 pow. She lands on the floor. The music's done and her show is done. And then herself comes into play and she's just like, you just strips.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like you just had sex and then you giggle after. Hey, did I just do that? You know?
I bet that's what it's like fucking a porn star. They get upset, you're trying to get a piece, and they're like, I can just use a tuna sandwich, actually.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's my work.
Right.
I save that for work.
Yeah, I really think a lot of people are shy off stage and they have a whole different personality. Beyonce even talks about how she is a different person. She has a name for her.
Yeah.
Beyonce's really one of those. I saw her on Oprah for like 5 minutes. She has nothing to say. She's really shy. She admits that she's not really that interesting off stage. She says that she has a totally different personality. She gave that personality a name, and she's fucking on fire on stage. She's got every personality in the world on stage. She gets off stage, she's nothing.
Right. Well, it's also how Marc Maron was using Chris Rock as an example. You know, Chris Rock doesn't repeat things three times in real life. He's, you know, you can barely have a conversation with him.
But I think that it's very easily, you know, the misconception is very easy. You know, you're this big star on stage, you have a huge presence, and then why doesn't that translate face to face?
Right. Burt Reynolds has checked himself into rehab. He said after recent back surgery, Mr. Reynolds felt like he was going through hell, and after a while realized he was a prisoner of prescription pain pills. When I was a kid, he was the coolest thing. Burt Reynolds, I thought.
Wasn't he to everybody?
Was he?
I think so. I think women were really into him. He was like a sex symbol.
I wanted him to be my uncle.
The one that touches you?
I could see that. My parents, of course, were going to be Kurt Russell and Lisa Gibbons. And Burt Reynolds was going to be my uncle. It didn't work out right. I'm like, someday I'll be so rich, I can make this happen.
You should have been Chinese.
Then they can adopt me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. Avril Lavigne, sad, breaking up with her husband.
What? Who'd break up with Avril?
Derek Whibley. Oh, don't get me wrong. She does the breaking up.
Oh.
Derek Whibley of Sum 41. 3 years of marriage. That's over.
Oh, my God. These kids are married.
Right.
They're children.
Right. She dumped him and told him she was leaving him.
Oh, my God. I'm leaving you.
Right. Well, maybe he's not she woke up. She's like, wait a minute. I do want a skater boy. She wants to move on.
I want to move on.
Isn't that crazy? Listen to how much money they got. A source tells Us Weekly, adding that Levine, 25, forced him out of their $9.5 million, 12,000 square foot estate in LA's Bel Air. Divorce papers will be filed any day now. The dude's 29, 25 and 29.
You know, that's a huge house. If you can't live in a huge house together.
Right. I'll just be over here.
Yeah, I imagine it takes a lot to get divorced in a huge house.
You're 16 rooms away and you're still rubbing me the wrong way.
Get the fuck out.
Right.
How about if I just, you know, go to the other, you know.
Right. We can have three therapist rooms in between us. By the time we make our way there, we can have life coaches say, no, don't tell her food's not ready.
Two of our rooms are cafe spots.
Right. Now I need you out. How about I'll be in the pool. That's a mile away. I can feel you. No.
I hate the way you swim.
Yeah. It's just, you splash. Stop splashing. Like, I'm being trained by an Olympiad. I actually don't splash at all. I know what you do. I don't like it. I got water on my nose. Yeah, to spite me. What? Guiding Light is going off the air after 72 years on radio and TV. Wow.
72.
I couldn't take soap operas on TV. They had them on the radio?
Well, when they had nothing on the radio.
How do you interrupt somebody? You know what I mean?
Like this. Dun, 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 dun.
Who's in the room now? Oh, my God. My arch enemy.
It was all, I assume it was all music.
And I think Young and the Restless is off the air some time ago. The only reason that's in my mind is because that was my mom's favorite.
I think my mom liked Dynasty. She didn't even speak English.
Dynasty was at least prime time, right? I mean, you probably had explosions and stuff. In the defense, my mom loved Dynasty, but loved it for the clothes.
Oh, you know, do you know that Dynasty started as, this is, if I'm getting this right, Dynasty started as a just a blue-collar family and that kind of stuff. And then they realized that people are coming home from work and watching this, and they're sick of their own lives. So they made the characters on Dynasty bigger than life and richer and whatever. And so yeah. you're watching what you want to be after work.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I want to be fucking the pool man.
Yeah.
I want to be.
Because I'm so rich, yeah.
Right. So, soaps in general are declining. Other genres such as reality shows have taken over. So, yeah, you got your Kate plus eight. I don't need a made-up story about you and eight kids. I got real life.
Exactly.
I got,
it's the same thing, except you think it's real.
Yeah. Celebrities really are fucking their sons, the sons and not their sons. Oh, maybe they're fucking, fathers and sons. Well, I don't need a soap opera making it up.
Who's that comic, the female comic that did something like the D-List?
I know what you mean. My life on the D-List. I know what you mean.
Yeah, that girl.
She keeps telling these celebrity stories, right?
Yeah, so apparently she targeted Kate, of course, because she's in the news right now. And Kate's trying to fight her back somehow.
Oh.
Yeah, on whatever media she can get.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Irrelevant.
I got to fight a comic.
Right.
Okay.
That's her job, is to make fun of you because you're on the news.
Right. They'll be on the show together.
By the way, you have eight kids. You want to maybe tend to them?
Well, you can't be around them all the time. You know what I mean?
They're not even in school yet, are they? I never saw the show.
Honestly, in her defense, if I had eight kids...
You need a break.
They can start watching each other. That's the only point of having multiples. Start watching over each other. You know, we made it somehow from the caveman days. You know, make them stronger.
Are they all of the same age?
I have no idea. Okay. I don't think they're the same age. I don't think they all came out at once. Okay. Something like that. Kathy Griffin, of course, we're talking about.
Right.
Michael Moore says he made his latest documentary, Capitalism, A Love Story is the title, as though it were his last. And it might be. This is big news. He's saying that it might be his last. I had a thought. I might not do more documentaries. Ooh. Tick, 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 tick.
I had a thought earlier. I might take a shit.
Yeah. I might. I don't know yet.
I should be in the news.
Don't hold me to it. The George W. Bush antagonist of Fahrenheit 9/11 and gun control champion of Bowling for Columbine, is he closing up shop? The General Motors jouster of Roger and Me and healthcare trooper of Sicko, is he no longer in the documentary business? Maybe.
You know what's the funniest about this is PR. And what happens with PR, right. you get a PR rep and they put together what the news should be writing about you. And they put it in the words to help the newspapers and to help any kind of media write about you.
Right.
So they were like, well, he's coming out with a movie. That's boring. Hey, Michael Moore, have you had a thought of anything? Do you want to talk about sandwiches? Is something your favorite, something your least favorite? Well, I did have a thought. Maybe this is what they're pushing. It's not like the media picks up on... they can't read his mind and they go, you know what? I think Michael Moore just thought he can't do this anymore.
Or they just make it up and be like, he had to have thought it.
Maybe.
You know?
Right.
What are you going to assume? You never thought it? Say that Michael Moore had a dream where one day he shook George Bush's hand. I bet he did.
Maybe he doesn't know it himself.
Right.
It could happen. Here's how dreams work, and then they go into a dreams section, right. And then they go into DreamWorks, the production company. It all ties in, everybody.
I dug
it's
Michael
a slow fucking news day.
Right, I dug Michael Moore at first, and then I really dug Fahrenheit 9/11. I think everybody did. It just his movies, quite frankly, they really put you up in arms, and then what? You know, like the movie Sicko, I dug it, but now what do?
Well, I'll tell you what.
You know, it really just tells you it's hopeless. Hey, Keith, did you read about how all your food's tampered with? What do I do now? Nothing. It just makes you mad.
Well, I think that your average person isn't going to do anything. I think your average person with money who's moved by it will give money to organizations. I think your average person with maybe moves that he can make will make the moves. I think that, again, it's like...
Politicians are being bought. Okay, what do I do?
Okay, but it raises some kind of awareness. And I know that sounds like, okay, now we're aware, now what? But in one of his movies, because they're aware of Michael Moore, they said in the movie, this guy who needed for his daughter to have surgery on both ears because she was going deaf or something, and the insurance didn't want to pay for one of the ears. They wanted to pay for only the other one. Right. And he said, I'm sicking Michael Moore on you. And they changed their mind. So it's a force. And because the government is a force and will always be a force, something opposing it will become its own force. Whether, you know, you, Keith Malley, can't do anything about it. We're still talking about it. And now I just think awareness, when they say raise awareness, it sounds very up in the air and hippie-ish, but it does do something for the people who can push, and because it becomes masses pushing, then it's a bigger deal.
I do remember, Kendall's with me, and most documentaries are boring. I think we can all agree on that. That's not even debatable, is it?
But stamp of approval.
Right, but I could take Michael Moore's stuff. But anyway, I saw Fahrenheit 9/11. And then later on, I was in the video store and happened to see this movie from the other side, the right-wing movie, Fahrenheit 9/11, picking apart the movie Fahrenheit 9/11. Now, you realize, of course, maybe some of this shit they're making up. But without question, they were able to point out many lies that Michael Moore was saying, exaggerations that he was saying. They interviewed people that Michael Moore used. You know, that
they showed that Michael Moore used segments of this one vet.
At least one, by the way. But
yeah.
Yes.
But
the
for
vet
example,
was a big deal to me.
Yeah. For example, the vet, they used clips of what he said, and then they interviewed the same vet, and he was able to get more of his interview out.
Yeah. And he said, no, I didn't want to be represented that way at all. In fact, I said this and that. And, you know, you could tell, well, that wasn't edited wrong.
Right, but
you
this
know what
is
I mean?
But this is what I'm saying about when you're so on one side, it's always going to be biased. There's always going to be lies to it. He becomes the same as the government. It's what I was talking to you about. I used to know a girl who fought the KKK, who, you know, was in an organization that when the KKK was doing their rallies, they would rally opposing them. They would get the paperwork to do it so that there's somebody saying, hey, you know what? We get that you get to do this. We get to do this also, so that they know that they can't just come in, terrorize people. There's an opposing view and an opposing presence. And and they were the peaceful people. They're like, you can't do this. Let's just be here and you know, show that there is a good thing.
Right.
But they ended up throwing rocks and throwing whatever. And because you're so adamant and you're so on one side, you have to watch your mob mentality and you have to watch your heat level, you know? And that's what happens, I think. I'd like to say it's not inevitable, but it seems inevitable.
I will see this Michael Moore movie, but I remember this, and you can see it. I remember talking to Matt Bray about this, and he doesn't believe me. He just thinks, well, there's no way Michael Moore could have made this mistake. But they go over, in the movie Sicko, they go over, you know, America's number, whatever we are, 62 in healthcare. And they show this list. Below us, by the way, is Cuba, okay, in healthcare. Then later on, they take 9/11 victims to Cuba to show how great their system is. Didn't you edit your own film? In the beginning, Cuba was worse. Now it's convenient that Cuba's much better.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And nobody caught that but me. I really think that.
I think you're right. I watched it with you and I'm confused.
Well, anyway, now I will see the new Michael Moore movie, but I will leave the movie theater going, yeah, who knows? You know what I mean?
I know.
Who knows if it's true? It's a shame. It's a shame that he could have a point. And also what bothers me about him a little bit is more than once I hear him in interviews and he says, and I think you did too, he's not political. He's just a filmmaker. A, what the fuck does that mean? To me, you know what that means? It was when Spooky would write on the forums and be like, I'm a rabble-rouser. I deliberately push buttons. But here's my point. And then if you get mad at him, he like gets upset. It's like, am I supposed to take you serious or not? That's what he's... So he's saying, I'm not in it for politics. So you really just go, but I should be listening?
Well, if he says he is political, that means his documentaries have a side to them. Because when you're political, you usually pick a side. Well, of course they do. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Right.
Of course. But if he doesn't say things like that, then it dismisses his documentaries.
I guess.
I think. Yeah, and of course, you know, we're not stupid. You're political. You're very political. You're telling us our government is fucking us. That's a political statement.
Right.
Because you're talking about politics.
Well, I'll teach him a
lesson.
You're
talking about the politics of the U.S.
Right. I'll teach him a lesson by paying $12 to see it, sure. And then I think he'll learn. By the way, when I was mentioning, I meant to say this, when I was saying about Kanye West, his album, He's the Greatest, and then now he's working with Jay-Z. Jay-Z's, all his songs are He's the Greatest. When the rappers work together, do they even acknowledge that everybody in the room's the fucking greatest?
Did you just do math?
Yeah, yeah. When they meet each other, do they go, no, I reinvented the shit. No, I hit it and reinvented the shit. Okay, let's not bring that up and let's just make the best shit. Let's reinvent the shit. Wonder if there's tension. Well, there you go. Check out the deal. Type in Jew at keithandthegirl.com/store. Your order over $10, you get a free Keith and the Girl keychain. Personally, I recommend the pack with the Keith and the Girl pack if you're into our show. It contains live all over the place on a big boat and live in Canada. And you get the whole story about Keith and the Girl.
And also, you know, just like that Hey Ann story where she had to laugh like a crazy person in order to talk to somebody about Keith and the Girl, how about just wearing the shirt?
Mm.
And then, hey, that's a conversation starter. It also helps support our show, which is free. And so does keithandthegirl.com/donate. Thank you to the people who have been recently donating and have donated in the past. We really appreciate it. You help keep us going. Thank you for listening. Thank you for spreading the word.
There you go. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Peace.
keithandthegirl.com.